Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All righty. Well, good morning. Hey, today was an awesome day. If you guys were at the Relay for Life service, it was incredible. If not, next year, I think we might get invited back. So next year, make sure we mark it on our calendars. It's going to be a fun thing that we're going to do. But it was amazing just to kind of get to share Jesus with people who are either going through a fight or going through a struggle, wherever they are at. Man, it was fun to share Jesus and talk about how we can fight with the power of Jesus. So we are incredibly blessed and honored to be able to do that. Just if you haven't been here at Life Change Church for a while, or you have, there's some cool things that are going on that aren't always in the forefront, that aren't always right there in the front of the scene that we see. But God is doing some incredible things. I think the Relay for Life was an incredible thing as well. And dude, I hear stories from people talking about how they're walking in faith, and then God is continually just providing and blessing. Even just, I'll share a quick story. This week, a lady in the church came and said, "Hey, I feel like I'm supposed to give something away or whatever. Do you know what size clothes this person wears?" So I told him the size, and then I said, "Hey, thanks for doing that. Thanks for being kingdom-minded like that and being willing to help somebody." So he said, "I'm just doing what they told." Cool thing is that God told her to do that. And then next thing you know, there's all these clothes that were given to this lady who's going to give them away for free. She was going to go to garage sale and get them, but she got a whole tub of these clothes for free. It's crazy how God does things. And I think he does little things like that, but we overlook it. But he does little things in our life every day. I think we just need to be real and remember just that God is working in our lives every day. So we're going to jump in today. We're going to continue our sermon series entitled Be Real, because fake is exhausting. And again, we're jumped into this on Mother's Day. I had the honor to interview my mom, my mother-in-law, and my wife, the three moms in my life. I had the honor to just interview them and talk with them about the real struggles and the real joys of being a mom. And then we jumped in and we talked about how we can be real through worship. And I think it's so fun to see the kids in worship because, man, they are real in worship. I think they get the fact that we are all worshipers. They get the fact that worship isn't about a place. It's not about a style. But it's all about the position of our hearts. And that's what we learned. We learned that we need to be real and authentic with the position of our hearts so that we could worship God and place Him first in everything we do. And again, last week, if you were here, we learned the difference between fake community and real community. And I crawled through a tunnel, and it was crazy, and it was fun. And if you want to see that, you can check that out on the podcast. Actually, you can't see that on the podcast, but you can listen to that because the podcast is just audio. See if you caught me there. But we learned how to live in this real community. And we learned to go from fake community to real community, we have to go through chaos. So again, if you missed any of those, check those out on the website, www.mylifechangedchurch.com. But we're talking about being real, and I'm pumped up for this series. We're going into a bunch of different things. But being real in everything that we do. I believe we're called to be real in everything that we do, especially in our journey with God. No matter where we are in our journey with God, no matter whether we just started our walk with God, or no matter if we consider ourselves a mature believer, I believe we're called to be real in our journey with God. And again, we're looking at this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 23. So this is kind of the memory verse for this series that we're jumping in. So make sure you write this down, put it somewhere in your house, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your bathroom mirror, put it maybe in your car, somewhere you're going to see it every single day. But it says this, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22. It says, "Let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith." Let us come near to God. Let us be real with God. Let us come to God with an authentic, sincere heart and a sure faith, because we have been made free from a guilty conscience. I love that because I think so many times we come to God, we feel shamed. We feel like we need to cover something up. But this passage of Scripture is saying that we've been made free from a guilty conscience. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. And let us hold firmly to the hope that we've confessed, because we can trust God to do all that He's promised, to do what He's promised. I believe God's got some incredible plans, some incredible purposes, some incredible promises for each of us. He's got incredible promises for each of us individually, but I believe as a church, He's got some incredible promise for us. And if you look at the Bible, one of the promises in the Bible says this. It says that Jesus will build His church. Jesus will build His church. God will build His church. Let me say this. We don't build the church. Jesus does. But the crazy thing is he works through us. But sometimes we need to get out of the way and let him work through us. And I believe he's going to build the church. Last week, again, we talked about the community that we are in. And it's a community that if you look at it, it's a community that needs hope. A community that needs the hope of Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus is the hope of the world. He's the hope of Newark Heath and Granville. And we talked a lot about last week how Newark Heath and Granville have 91,000 people in the community, but 32,000 people don't have a relationship with Jesus. And another 29,000 people are de-churched. So 62,000 people don't have a place where they can grow closer to God. So today I'm going to spend a little bit of time and kind of talking about a little snippet of the vision of Life Change Church. So we can kind of be on the same page and look at what kind of where we're going forward. If you've never heard the vision of it, pay attention because I think God's got some incredible plans for us. And I think we need to chase after with everything we have. And one of the visions of the church is to obviously make a dent in that 62,000 people. To reach those 62,000 people so they can grow into a closer relationship with Jesus. And I believe God's going to continue to grow our church. I think he's always going to continue to grow. I don't believe that a church often stops at a right size or the perfect size, right? I don't believe we're called to be a mega church, though. I'm going to tell you this, and there's nothing wrong with a mega church. But when I was praying through God and we were getting ready to plant this church, I feel God just laid this vision on me. And it wasn't to be the biggest church in the community. It wasn't to be the biggest church in Newark, Heath, and Granville. It wasn't about any of that. But it was about to reach people who don't know Jesus. And we reach people who don't know Jesus through real relationships. That's what I believe God's called us to do. I think how we do this is I think big picture of this vision. Could be overwhelming, I understand, but it's to go like multi-church, meaning that we will have multiple churches, even multiple services throughout this community to truly connect with others, to truly connect others to God, so that people can come to a place where they feel that they have a family that's behind them, that they feel that they have a support group that's behind them, that's walking through life in every single thing they do. I believe that we should always be growing, but we still need to maintain these relationships. So this is how this multi-site church works. I believe even, too, we're going to plant other churches. Down the road, I believe that the picture of the church, we're going to plant other churches that are not only affecting Newark, Heath, and Granville, but are affecting Ohio and beyond as well. I think God has called us to do an incredible thing in this community because of that. I think you'll see that through really building real relationships with others. And when I say that, I'm sure you probably hear that and think, dude, that is overwhelming. Like, that is a scary thing. And it is. It is overwhelming. And God's plans are always overwhelming because his plans are always bigger than anything we are. His plans are always bigger than anything that we could imagine. But this is what's true. We can trust God to do all that he's promised. And if you hear me say that vision too, like, hey, we're planting, we want to have multi-sites, so even maybe a location in like the east end of Newark, a location in the north end of Newark, a location still downtown, a location in Heath and Granville. We have these different kind of places where people can meet on a Sunday morning in different locations where, man, they can have a group of people that they are so connected with that are connecting them to God every single day. You hear that and you think, holy cow, we are still trying to figure out how to be a church right now, right? I mean, literally, we are. I'm going to be honest. We are still trying to figure out how to be a church right now. We just started in September, right? But I think God's got incredible things for us. And I think we have to look towards that. Chase after his vision. I will tell you, this isn't an announcement that we're going to go to two services. This isn't an announcement that we're going to go jump into another place and a location at all. But I just want to put this in front of you because I believe God's laid this vision for this church, for this community. I believe that God's going to have an impact in this community. It's something that we need to be chasing after. We need to allow him to work through us, though. We need to allow God to work through us in every area of ministry that goes on a Sunday morning. We need to make every area of ministry so excellent that people just feel overwhelmed by the love and the power of Jesus Christ. We need to allow God to work and move through us in everything. But we also need to allow God to work in us individually. Work in us to be leaders. So today we're going to talk about that. How do we be real in leadership? Because I believe God's called us to be leaders. To lead other people to him. So how do we be real leaders? Truth is, we are all our leaders, right? We all are leaders. And since we're all leaders, God's called us to accomplish his plan. It's a crazy thing how big God's plan is, but yet he still uses us to do it. I think it's amazing. We are all leaders because leadership occurs anytime you attempt to influence the thinking or the beliefs or the development of others. We're all leaders. We all influence somebody. But the crazy thing is this. Statistics show that only 20% of people consider themselves a leader. 20% consider themselves a leader. I think oftentimes because they equate leadership to a position. But understand this. Leadership is not just about a position. Here's the one thing I want you to walk away with is this. Leadership is all about influence. Leadership is all about influence. And we are all leaders. We all have some type of influence. So let me ask you, how are you using your influence? How are you using your influence? Are you using your influence to bring people closer to God? Are you using your influence to grow them in their relationship or even point them towards the direction of a relationship with God? Are you being intentional with your influence? Are you being wise with that leadership that God has given you? If you would turn with me to Proverbs 11:14. We'll throw it up on the screen as well. But I love this passage of Scripture, and it's written by one of the wisest men to ever walk the earth, a guy named Solomon, and there's incredible principles in it. And I would challenge you, if you're not reading your Bible, I challenge you to read through Proverbs. There's some incredible truths. There's some incredible principles in there that you can apply to your life. I would challenge you to read your Bible every single day. If you don't have one, we do have Bibles in the back as well. But read your Bible. There's some things that you can apply to your life that will change your life. And the book of Proverbs is a great place just to go and chase after with wisdom. But it says this. It says in Proverbs 11:14, without wise leadership, a nation is in trouble. Without wise leadership, a nation is in trouble. Without wise leadership, we are all in trouble. I mean, think about it. Without wise leadership, my family is in trouble. If you think about that, I mean, think about every time you have an issue in your family. I know for me, every time that we have an issue in my family, it's probably because somebody did something unwise. Right? Again, Berkeley and Griffin. Berkeley's 3 years old, Griffin's 2. When Griffin decides to bite Berkeley, it's not the wisest decision. Guess what's coming next? Trouble's coming next, right? Same thing if I'm hanging out with my wife, Sarah. Now, if I ask her to do something, usually it could get done. But if I decide, you know what, I'm going to tell her to do something, not necessarily a wise decision. Or if I argue with her about something else, right, not a wise decision. Trouble could be coming. She's not in here today, so that's okay. But really, without wise leadership, a community is in trouble. Without wise leadership, our workplace is in trouble. My school's in trouble. My home's in trouble. Everything's in trouble because leadership influences everything. Leadership influences everything. Everything rises and falls based on leadership. Again, leadership is our influence. I believe that God wants to stretch our influence. I believe God wants to stretch ourselves as leaders because he wants to build his church and he wants to use us to do it. So he wants to stretch us from wherever you're at. Maybe you're here today and you don't even consider yourself a leader. God wants to stretch you so that you view yourself as a leader, that you view yourself as having influence. God wants to stretch us no matter where we are at because he wants to use us for his plan. He wants to use us to fulfill his promises that he's made. He wants us to grow in leadership. But I think we have to be real in leadership. Before we look at what real leadership is, I think we kind of have to see some misconceptions of what leadership is. Maybe some fake leadership. Maybe there's a couple misconceptions. One thing, I think we equate leadership with status. We think status is leadership, right? Maybe it's a celebrity status, but we see that and we think that's leadership. But if you think about it, think of a celebrity right now that you would not follow anywhere. Are we all thinking about the same person? Rhymes with, no, I won't say. But think about a celebrity right now that you want to follow, right? They have status, they have the celebrity status, but just because they have this status doesn't mean they're a leader. But our mindset, I think we think this way so many times. We think that status equals leadership, right? We think that status equates to leadership, but it doesn't. Status does not equate to leadership. And this isn't an age-old problem. The disciples even argued about this too. Again, you see the disciples arguing with each other, asking who is going to be the greatest among them, right? And then Jesus hears this. Jesus is one of the greatest leaders, the greatest example of leadership that we have. Jesus hears this and he sets them straight. He says that a leader should be like a servant. The greatest should be like the least, right? He understood that leadership comes from servanthood because servanthood leads to influence. Leadership comes from influence. Leadership based primarily on status is fake. Another thing, too, I think we equate criticism with leadership. You say that out loud and you're like, dude, I would never follow anybody that criticizes me, right? Maybe we wouldn't follow somebody, but we think that we can lead through criticism. We think that we are God's gift to the world, so we tell everybody what they're doing wrong, and we think that we're going to do something, they're going to all of a sudden change, like we shined a light on them and said, ah, and then they're going to follow us, right? That's sometimes how we lead. That's sometimes what we think leadership is, but criticism is not leadership. In fact, criticism, being a critic, often diminishes your influence. So let's look at what real leadership is, and let's look at how we can become a real leader. Again, Jesus was the greatest example of real leadership. He was the greatest example of a leader we have. I mean, if you think about it, who else had 12 people that they poured into that maybe created something new over 2,000 years ago that still exists today? Because Jesus poured into 12 people, the world was changed. We are changed because he poured into those 12 people. We're changed because of who he is, but also because of his leadership. I think we could spend months, honestly, looking at the leadership qualities of Jesus. But today, I just want to jump in to look at three things about what real leadership is. First is this. Real leadership is identifiable. Real leadership is identifiable. I mean, you can spot a leader from a mile away, right? You know who the leader is. If you think about Jesus, I mean, he showed this example. There would be crowds that would come gather around him. Crowds would come follow him. Crowds would come just to hear him speak. Large crowds knew who he was. They spotted him out. You can spot a leader out because leadership is identifiable. But not only is it identifiable by others, but what I think is really important when you look at it, a leader knows who they are. Real leadership says, I know who I am. A real leader knows their purpose. They know their plan. They know what they're supposed to do. As a follower of Christ, we find our identity in Christ and in only him. We find our identity in Christ alone. But sometimes I think we forget this. And when we forget this, this is when it gets a little bit scary. This is kind of when we're just wandering through life aimlessly. This is kind of where we're just kind of almost a zombie, right? And when we're a Christian and we're not defined by Christ, chances are we're going to be defined by something else. Others will define you. We'll be defined by the world. Let me say this. If you do not know your plan, God's plan for your life, if you don't know what your purpose is, chances are somebody else is going to give you a plan. Somebody else is going to give you a purpose. Maybe your boss, maybe your mom, maybe your wife, and maybe your spouse, and maybe your husband, your kids. Somebody's going to make a purpose for you if you don't know what your plan is. So we have to know who we are. The crazy thing is when we're defined by the world or when we're defined by others, then they put those expectations on us as well. They put those standards that they want us to see us to live to. If we're not defined by what God has for us, but if we're defined by others, those expectations are placed on us by others, and we will never meet them. Their expectations we can never meet. We'll always fall short. I mean, this can happen in a workplace, this can happen with friends, but the truth is that this also happens a lot in the church. A lot of people don't really know who they are in Christ, so they find their identity in the church, and they get wrapped up in doing things. They get wrapped up in doing instead of being. They come to church out of obligation, and they're defined by those religious standards. But that's not what God wants. God wants to define you based on your relationship with Jesus. God wants to define you based on who you are in him. Let me just challenge you, don't walk through life in a fog. Don't walk through life just wandering. Know who you are in him. And again, if you don't know, he gave us this thing called the Bible that we can read through that promises for us, that says things that speak specifically to us. When we're praying through, when we're reading through the Bible, God speaks through his Bible to tell us who we are in him. Read your Bible. Again, Jesus knew who he was. I love the fact that Jesus knew who he was so much he was almost arrogant about it, right? It was almost in a way where people were probably looking at him like, dude, who is this guy? But in the book of John, Jesus over and over says who he is. He says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the Son of God. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. Here's Jesus saying all these things, knowing who he is in God. We need to have the same understanding of our life as well. Don't let anyone label you. Don't let anyone define you. The only one who has the right to define us, the only one who has the right to label us and tell us who we are, is our creator, our manufacturer, and our designer. Know who you are in Christ. He's given us all an identity that allows us to influence others. But you have to know who you are. You have to know who you are before others can recognize who you are, before you can influence. And we're all chosen by God. We're all a child of God. God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that we could be a child of God and enter into that family. Know who you are. I believe real leadership is identifiable. Real leadership is also courageous. Real leadership is courageous. It looks fear in the eye and says, come on, let's go. Because the crazy thing is, once we know what our purpose is, once we know who we are, Satan's going to do everything he can to stop us. He's going to come at us with everything he can. And oftentimes, I think we do a pretty good job of fighting Satan. We do a pretty good job of closing the front door, whether that's some just blatant sins. We do a good job of staying away from blatant sins probably on a daily basis for the most part, whether that's from lust, whether that's from temptations of addictions, whether that's lying, cheating, stealing, all those things. We can say, you know what? I kind of have that covered in my life. That's the front door, though. But what happens is, instead of getting us to fall, Satan gets us to fear. I believe fear is the back door to our life. Fear is that back door where Satan's trying to come in and stop our influence. Whether it's a fear of failure, whether it's the fear of not being good enough, whether it's the fear of really the unknown, Satan's trying to put a fear in our life to stop our influence. And that fear, it creates worry. It creates stress. It creates anxiety. And then the next thing you know, we're frozen. We do nothing. That's how fear works, right? It paralyzes us. It paralyzes who we are. It stops us and freezes our influence for God. But real leadership is courageous. So how do you develop courage? I think to develop courage, we have to learn to separate our courage from our circumstances. When everything seems to be out of control, when the conditions we're in, they're just not going crazy, we can still choose. We can still choose to have courage. But we have to know what we're feeding. Are you feeding your fears? Or are you feeding your courage? What do you keep your eye on? Do you keep your eye on your fears? Or do you keep your eye on your courage? I think both our fear and courage, they're powered by our focus. They're powered by our focus, and our focus has to be on Jesus. What's your focus? I think for many of us, maybe our focus is on our fear. Maybe it is on our anxiety, our worry, our stress that we have. I mean, for many of us, it's easy to do. We almost do it subconsciously, right? We need to face fear head on, though. We need to face our worry, our anxiety. We need to face it head on. Because when dealing with fear and anxiety, we can't be passive. Fear just won't eventually leave. It's not something we can just say, you know what, I'll just walk through this storm and eventually it'll just leave. No, it doesn't evaporate. We have to evict it from our life. It's not something that can just be cured. But we have to chase after it, and we have to evict it. We have to kick it out of our hearts. If we don't kick it out of our hearts, it's going to keep us from meeting and matching and fulfilling God's perfect will for our lives. We have to take action. Fear gets stronger when we avoid it. So we can't avoid it. We have to take action against it. And we can do that with the power of love. 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. The only force in the world strong enough to beat fear is love. So we have to face our fears. We have to face our worries, our anxieties, knowing that Jesus loves us and that we can walk in the power of that. We need to understand that he loves us. And be willing to step out based on that love, because real leadership is courageous. It takes that initial step, and fear is overcome by taking that initial step. I love what Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:7. And here's Paul. He's writing to a guy named Timothy. Timothy was a young leader. He was kind of helping Paul take over some of the churches that Paul had set up. But Timothy was young, and he was bound by this fear. He was scared, right? But Paul looks at him and knows, you know what? I know who you are. I know that God has a plan for you. I know God's going to do some incredible things with you. So Paul writes to Timothy to challenge him, to encourage him, to let him know that he can't be a leader if he fears people, to let him know that he can't show the love that God's given him if he has fear, if he's bound by fear. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." God has not given us a spirit of fear. This phrase, spirit of fear, is almost talking about an atmosphere of fear. This whole area that's surrounding Timothy is fear. And Paul's saying that God has not given that to you. That's not part of God's will. You have to evict that. You need to run away from that. You need to get out from that area and run towards God's will, which is love. God's plan is love. It's power and a sound mind. And I believe real leadership is courageous through the love that God gives us. Real leadership is courageous through the power that he gives us. Real love, real leadership is courageous through the sound mind, the self-control that we can only find by relying on him, by moving out of our own way, by letting God work through us. God wants to stretch us as leaders, but we need to be courageous and we need to rely on the love that he gives us. The third thing is this: real leadership is committed. Real leadership is committed. I believe that commitment has a direct correlation to influence. I mean, think about it. You ever gone to a restaurant and you ask for the specials? You hear the specials, they ring them off, and you kind of like, that sounds halfway decent. I might get a little crazy. I mean, I usually stick to chicken fingers at this restaurant, but I'm going to go a little crazy today, and I might try the special. But you want to know a little bit more insight on what that special is. So you ask the waiter or waitress. You ask if it's good and if they've tried it before. If they've said they've never tried it, or if they even go worse and they say, you know what, it really wasn't that great, or you know what, I'm not a fan of the fish, or whatever the special is. They say that. What's the chances you're going to order that special, right? They didn't influence you in any way because they weren't committed to what that was. I think influence is directly related to commitment. And real leadership is having an extremely high commitment level. It's having an extremely high commitment level. Again, if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was the most committed to the will of God that we've ever seen. I mean, Jesus is praying, right? He's saying, take this cup, but Lord, your will be done. Jesus didn't really want to. There's a time where he's thinking, you know, I don't even want to go on the cross. I know this is about to happen. This is so painful. This is going to be so, it's not going to be good. Like, God, you've told me this plan. And I'm like, seriously? Seriously? But he's so committed to God's plan that he says, your will be done. Carries it through, died on a cross for us. Gave up his own life. Real leadership is committed. And I believe that we are only as spiritually strong as our weakest commitment. We are only as spiritually strong as our weakest commitment. So let me ask you, do a checkpoint right now. What's your commitment level? What's your commitment level with God? Man, are you so committed to God that you spend time with him every single day? Are you so committed to God that maybe people even realize that you have a relationship with God? Are you so committed to God that you're willing to say, follow me to others? Follow me as I follow Jesus. Are you so committed to God and the vision that he has for our life that you're willing to share it with others and invite and bring people into that as well? What's your commitment level? Real leadership is committed. Again, going back to Paul who just wrote Timothy, Paul's one of my favorite characters in the Bible, and really because of this. He's an all or nothing guy. He's an all or nothing guy. And before Paul was Paul, he was actually named Saul. And he was all or nothing as a religious leader, as a Pharisee. In fact, he did everything he could to stop Jesus. He did everything he could to stop the followers of Jesus. He persecuted them. He even murdered some of them, right? He was all or nothing. Then he's walking one day and he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus and everything changed. And he became committed to Jesus. He was all in. From that moment, he preached the gospel. He preached the story of Jesus every single place he went, whether it was dangerous or not. He had so much commitment to it, and oftentimes he was even thrown into jail. But he was committed to the cause, and he had so much influence that he wrote most of the New Testament. Even while he was in prison, he wrote the book of Ephesians. He was writing this to the church of Ephesus while he was in prison. And I love Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. Because Paul's talking about commitment, and he's urging us to be committed. He says this, he says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Here's Paul. He's challenging the church in Ephesus to be committed. Challenging them to be committed to live a life worthy of their calling, to live a life worthy of the promise that God set before them, to be committed to that call, to be committed to that vision that God gave them. I think he's calling us to do the same thing, to be committed to the call, be committed to the vision that God's laid before us, and do it by being completely humble, gentle, patient, and showing love to one another. And then make every effort to be keep united through peace. Here's Paul. He's writing to the church in Ephesus to commit. I think he's doing the same thing for us today. He's asking us to commit because through commitment comes influence. Real leadership is committed to the cause, committed to the vision that God has for us. If we're going to see Newark, Heath, and Granville change, if we're going to see ourselves, if we see be an impact in each community where people are growing closer to a relationship with Jesus, we need to be committed to God. So much so that we're willing to invite and bring others. So much so that people, it's almost contagious the way we live. Real leadership is committed. And I believe God's calls us to change and bring hope to Newark. But we do that through our commitment level. We first must go out and lead people. And we are all leaders. Lance, if you want to come up, we are all leaders. I think God is calling us to influence others. He's calling us to use the talents and the abilities and the gifts that he's given us to influence others. But man, we need to know who we are in him. We need to know our identity. People need to see who we are in him as well. But we need to be courageous. We need to look fear in the eye and evict it from our life and be courageous in leadership. And we need to be committed to the cause. Let me ask you, how are you using your influence? And would you consider yourself a real leader? As I close, we go on this response time. We're going to spend some time just kind of thinking through this. But I think the first step, obviously, is to know that who we are in Christ. Again, I never want to preach a message without giving somebody the opportunity to make things right with God or to follow Jesus. So maybe you're here today and maybe you walked away from Jesus. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus, but you want to have a relationship with him. You want to know who you are in him. You want to know your identity. If that's you, I'm just going to pray with you right at your seat. I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, I just want you to raise your hand. One, with everybody's eyes closed and head bowed. Two, God is asking you to find your identity in him by starting a relationship with him today. Three, raise your hand. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to die on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sins and help me find my identity in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.lifechangechurch.com. mylifechangedchurch.com, and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.